More listener eclipse tales on episode 419 of the Actual Astronomy Podcast. I'm Chris, and joining me is Shane. We're amateur astronomers that love looking up the night sky, and this podcast is for everybody who loves going out under the stars. So we had a few emails that we didn't quite get to, Shane. I thought it would be fun to read almost all the ones that we received and went back through. I think nobody else has written in, but we'll finish reading these ones. How does that sound?
Yeah, sounds good. I think that the eclipse generated the most, observation reports for one event ever.
I think so. Yeah.
So this is awesome. I've enjoyed them.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I did get one, though not related to the podcast, but I just got it this morning from Michael Gatto, who's our ASC calendar editor. And he sent me photos of my first ST80 type telescope, my 80 millimeter F5, the Vista 805 or 804. For some reason, it was 804, but it was F5, and set up for the eclipse. So I was asking him if he had any photos. It was a very brief email, but anyway, it's kind of cool to see that set up and still being pressed into action after close to 30 years, I guess. So that's pretty cool.
Oh, wow. That's, if the telescope could tell stories, hey?
Oh, yeah. That telescope has seen a lot of miles because I got that one sort of quote unquote for free because I went to my first star party and I won the grand prize back in 1996.
Oh, wow.
Something like that. Anyway, maybe 95 even. That was like my very first like dark sky astronomy event. And I won the grand prize, which was $100, which is the equivalent of $10,000 today, probably. No, but I bought that 80 millimeter F5 because I was moving to the city to go back to school and didn't have a car, didn't have anywhere to get around. And but there was a rooftop balcony. So I used to haul it up there with a couple eyepieces and look at the moon or planets or whatever else was going on. And then, yeah, when I get more into astronomy, I didn't have that much room in my apartment for my 8-inch daub or anything. So yeah, I just used that for a number of years. That's really what got me into the whole small telescope stuff. So yeah, pretty cool to see that telescope still rocking it.
Probably working just as good as it always has to.
Yeah, I think so. I regret selling that scope in a way. It's kind of silly because I think I sold it for like $20 or something. I'm like, why would you sell a telescope for $20? Just keep the telescope. This is nothing. This is nothing. But anyway, I'm glad Michael's using it. If I could sell it to anybody, he was a good person to sell it to. I'll put it that way. All right. Anything new and exciting with your end of the gear train?
No, sir. No. Status quo over here.
Status quo. Well, let's go. We got Ron. You sent us an email.
Yeah.
Ron wrote, "Good morning, Chris and Shane. Thank you for getting back to me. We had a whirlwind experience in Texas for the eclipse. Did we have clouds? Yes. Did we see the eclipse at times? Was it amazing? Yes. Did we get great videos and pictures of the eclipse? Sadly, no. We flew into Austin on Friday night and had a great time in the city. Sunday morning, we drove to Kerrville. Crowds were less than expected, probably because of the weather forecast. We still decided to drive back towards Austin just in case, so we did not miss our evening flight back home. We set up with about 300 others on a roadside gas station in Fredericksburg with a big dirt parking lot. There were many clouds in the sky, but once the eclipse started, we had lots of great views off and on as it moved towards totality. I had two iPhones set up on tripods with solar filters, but with the clouds moving in and out, the videos did not turn out. We were able to view the eclipse at about 95%, but then the clouds covered it and we could not see the total eclipse portion. But when it went to totality, the lights at the gas station came on and we were in total darkness for over 4 minutes, which was very eerie and beautiful. People were cheering and hooting and hollering. I had planned to take a little tour of the now night sky with the binoculars, but the clouds are pretty much everywhere. So we just took it all in. Overall, it was an amazing trip and an amazing experience. Now my wife wants me to look into Greenland or Spain in August 2026. Ron, it was pretty cool. I like the image that he sent us of the gas station at totality. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was neat. Although I'm super impressed that he I guess had the confidence that they'd make it back to the airport in time to leave on the same day. I would have been worried about traffic jams. I think that would have caused me some stress, but probably worked out well. So good for him. So next one is from Will, it looks like. And he said, "Hey guys, as usual, I'm enjoying the podcast, although I'm falling behind. I am amazed that you're still cranking out one a week, or well, we're doing two a week actually. So we'll keep that cadence going and until we say otherwise, I guess." He said, "You're definitely are perfecting the art of the conversational podcast. Thank you for that. I know you are collecting eclipse reports, and here is my sad tale. My partner and I made our reservations for Austin over a year ago, but as the eclipse approached, the weather forecast was looking very poor, and she had already had a tough time traveling due to the lingering effects of her chemo. So we decided to abandon our eclipse trip to Texas and drive to Syracuse, New York, which is 3 hours for us, where the weather forecast was for clear skies, at least as of Friday when we had to decide. Alas, clear skies were not to be. We had high, thin clouds right up to first contact. And when I say right up to, here's what I mean. I was settled in with my 15 by 70s, filters on, just before first contact. The sun was a sharp disk with a large sunspot group quite clear through the thin cloud cover. As the last 20 seconds before contact counted down, I watched a thick cloud slide into the field of view from the right, covering and blotting out the sun at almost precisely the moment of first contact. An audible moan went up from the surrounding observers, including an ironic belly laugh from one. For the duration of the partial phase, I was only able to get a couple of glimpses of the sun with a bite out of it, none more than a few seconds long. Finally, as totality approached, I abandoned the binoculars and we just experienced the encroaching darkness, sans eclipse glasses, which were not needed. Mine never made it out of my bag. During the partial phase, a swan was violently going after some geese on the river we were by, chasing them away as darkness fell, adding an engaging sideshow. This went on for quite some time. I have to say that clouds or no, the experience of totality was worth the drive. The difference between 99% and 100% is dramatic, and the darkness descends fast. I've heard it compared to a lid being lowered over you. I would characterize it as a blanket of darkness, or maybe a snuffer being lowered and extinguishing a candle. Imagine the time between sunset and astronomical twilight, normally an hour or so, compressed into a minute or two. It was dramatic. The colors were unworldly. Deep violets and mauves surrounded us on all sides. The totality seemed to suspend time, and far from feeling short, it felt luxurious, like being swaddled in velvet. As totality ended, the sky in the west rapidly brightened, like a sunrise in the wrong direction. Just as quickly as it had become dark, the light returned. We lingered for some time, enjoying the park while most people headed out. But the clouds were not going away in a hurry. It had been clear the day before, mostly clear in the morning, and by dark it had somewhat cleared again. It appears they were right. Timing is everything. Is there a trip to North Africa in my future? Question mark. Clear skies, Will. I love that report. Even though totality was not observed, it's super neat to hear everything else that they observed during totality. I like that statement of how, twilight was kind of compressed into a couple of minutes rather than about an hour. Very neat.
Will's an artist. He has a particular view on things. He took this photo, or I think maybe his partner took the photo. Anyway, together they created this photo of it. It almost looks like sunset. And I said, "Oh, you missed totality, but you really captured something there." And I was encouraging him to send it into Sky and Telescope or somewhere, simply because it's like the best photograph of what you see during an eclipse that has nothing to do with actually looking at the sun that I've ever seen. Because it did look kind of like sunset or something of that nature, but it definitely did look a little bit different, and very cool. Just a very, very cool shot. Anyway, Great work on that. Michael Wright sent us a totality sketch. Really appreciate that. Michael said, I have been working on a sketch from my memory because I have a pretty clear image of totality. Of course, he did this, like, I think basically the next day. The only thing missing is the prominences on the bottom and right that I saw. I might try adding them to the original in pencil crayon and seeing if I can convert the color for everything but those regions. I'm pretty happy with it overall. I did an H alpha sketch on the beach in the morning, but I didn't want to be sketching during totality because it's just too brief. And since this was my first total eclipse, I just wanted to live in the moment. Cheers, Michael. Yeah, thanks so much, Michael. That was really awesome to see. Really appreciate it. Really a neat sketch. I think we received 3 or 4 sketches of totality, which is pretty cool. And then I've got a few others from friends. But I think that's more sketches of totality than I've ever seen. So it's pretty neat to get all those.
Yeah, for sure. Looks like Alex sent us a short one, and he said, I've been listening to your podcast for about 6 months now. I love the work you guys do, and I'd just like to thank you for that. Due to weather complications, I wasn't able to travel to southern Illinois for totality, but luckily I had clear skies from my backyard in northern Illinois. And he sent us a few images of a 94% eclipse of the mm-hmm. sun. So pretty cool. Even a partial is fun to observe. You know, you and I had the 41% eclipse here, and
yeah.
I really enjoyed it. It was a nice way to spend a couple of hours.
Yeah. It was really neat just to see 94. I know my folks were telling me about their experience seeing, I think they had about 94% from they went up to the Canadian Tire parking lot in true fashion and pulled out their eclipse glasses and took a look at the 94% eclipse sun before going in and buying a water hose or something. And pretty neat to see the photos from Alec of what that looked like for him.
Yeah, for sure.
Jake sent us some photos as well. Jake wrote, hi, Chris and Shane. Just wanted to share some of my pics of the eclipse. I live in upstate New York, and our skies were looking pretty crummy. So my family and I ended up driving to Burlington, Vermont. I've been to Burlington many times myself. I'm sure it's different since I was last there. The skies ended up being pretty much perfect. I put in a ton of time ahead preparing, so I was able to automate the photo taking with a script, allowing me to enjoy the visual experience during totality. Like any good actual astronomy fan should. Very good. Anyway, pics are below. Yeah, they were awesome. Thanks for that. These were some pretty fantastic photos that you sent, Jake. Really appreciate them. I'm pretty happy with them. I got most of the major events, Bailey's beads, diamond rings. Anyway, hope you enjoy. Thanks so much for all your hard work on the podcast. I also, no beer for me during the eclipse, unfortunately, all while driving. Yes, one of the advantages just hanging out in Shane's yard is I could have a beer over the 2 hours I was there and hang out for a bit afterwards, too. It was pretty fun. I did enjoy a nice pint at our local Amangang Belgian beer last night to celebrate, though. Clear skies, Jake. Thanks so much for that, Jake. That's awesome.
Yeah. And then the next one here is from Adam, and he said, I drove from Ottawa to Bromont, Quebec with my wife and kids to watch the eclipse. It was totally amazing, a supernatural experience. The view of totality was so much more detailed, extensive, colorful, and alive than any photo I've ever seen leading up to it. I made a sketch for memory, which is attached. The scale and location of the prominences are a little off, but the prominences were so bright and colorful that they left a big impression in my memory. And Chris, that one that we were looking at, you know, around, well, there was two. I think one was at like 9 o'clock that we were, you know, that was kind of earlier in the eclipse. And then as the moon moved, it exposed that other one around 6 or 7
yeah.
o'clock, which was even bigger and more pronounced.
Yes.
Yeah. Adam goes on to say here, we got 3 minutes and 18 seconds of totality. I watched the first 60 seconds, naked eye in awe. Then I remembered that I had my Nikon Action Extreme 7x35 binoculars around my neck. The view through those was incredible. The coronal streamers extended beyond the bino field of view, which is 9.3 degrees. My wife and I estimated that the naked eye extent of the corona was maybe 3 degrees. There were some wisps of high altitude clouds, exactly as the HRRR forecast predicted. I downloaded the Windy app. It's impressive. But they didn't seem to degrade our view. We saw layers of structure in the coronal streamers, kind of like veins in a plant leaf. They seemed alive and very white in color. There was a bright pink prominence in the 7 o'clock position, like a ruby set in a ring. Towards the end of totality, I saw three or four prominences between 2 and 5 o'clock, including a big arch at the 3:30 position, all very reddish pink. We had a 360-degree twilight sunset, like we were in a dome of darkness under a black sun on some kind of alien world. Jupiter and Venus were visible, but no sighting of Comet 12P. And that's, Chris, I think that's kind of the common theme. I don't know if I've heard anybody that saw the comet naked eye. In fact, I'm not sure I've heard of anybody even seeing it with optics, but.
No, I read a story of somebody who looked for it with 20 by 80s and still didn't get it. So, but I was thinking about that. And when I first found it, it took me like 3 or 4 minutes to find, which doesn't sound like any big deal. Yeah, it might take you a few minutes to find a comet, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's all of totality, man. Like,
well, yeah, and you were probably doing it under much darker conditions too, which would make it easier even. Right?
Yeah. So, yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah, it's pretty brief. You would want a pretty bright comet, I think, for that. But cool that people tried.
Yeah, absolutely.
People tried, yeah.
Yeah. Back to Adam's email here. He said, I had set up my phone on a tripod to record a video of the eclipse. The image was out of focus, but you can see a black dot in the middle of the sun and some wispy clouds. I just hit record when totality started, and that was it. Minimal effort. I just wanted to soak up the experience. The best part about the video is it captured our voices, our descriptions of what we could see, our wonder and amazement, my 7-year-old son's disappointment when I first told him that the binos were a daddy thing. Then I relented and I let him look through them while I watched closely for signs that totality might be ending. I was really worried he wouldn't realize totality was ending and would be blinded through the binoculars. But it was fine, and he got an amazing look through the binos with plenty of time to spare. All of it was captured in the video. I wasn't expecting the adrenaline rush, the emotion, my eyes tearing up. My legs were weak, and I was speechless at the end of totality. I was so happy to be there with my family. On the drive home, the sun was setting, and my 4-year-old daughter complained, "Mama, the sun is in my eyes, and the moon isn't there anymore. LOL."
That's amazing.
That. Yeah, that's great. My wife is amazing and took some pictures of us during totality on her iPhone. I attached one of my son and I. She was shocked at how unique and emotional the sight and experience was. She's not an astronomer, but I might be able to convince her to travel for more eclipses. She says she's a totality or bust kind of girl. I hear Spain calling our name from Adam.
Nice.
Yeah, that's awesome. Love that.
Very cool.
That story. And, you know, the... It just that emotion and, you know, the adrenaline and speechless and tears, all of this stuff is pretty common in a lot of these reports. And, you know, it is really a unique experience to go to totality. So I'm glad so many people were able to see it. And, you know, it's kind of neat because I think once you, like, each eclipse sort of builds more and more momentum. You know, it just seems like once you see one, you become addicted and you start thinking about the next one. So I imagine the one in Spain in 2026 and Greenland is going to draw quite a few people.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks so much, everybody who sent in their observations and observing notes and sketches and photographs and equipment pictures. It was pretty cool to see all that and sort of live vicariously through others while we were stuck with our measly 41% eclipse.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's all good.
It's nice to live vicariously.
Anything to add to this show, Shane?
No, sir. That is all.
Nice short one for people. Please subscribe, share the show with other stargazers you know. Send us your observations, questions, and if you have a show idea, please send that along to us as well, because our next show is going to be a show idea from a listener. Thanks again for listening, everybody.
Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we hope you enjoyed the show. If you are interested in more information, would like to contact us, or if you would like to support the podcast, check out our website, actualastronomy.com.